planet to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's articles of news for the week of the 19th of September, and it's part two because we did one.
Wait, you did? When?
Yeah, yesterday.
Are you serious?
Yeah, with Molly Jenny.
Oh, well, I missed out.
Yeah, so we're still catching up, right? Yeah,
how many have you done in September now? One.
Two. Molly Jenny was on last week, and then we did another one yesterday, and now we're doing this one today, and I might do another one tomorrow. You can't stop me.
Wow.
I'm a podcasting show fiend.
Yeah, how do you have time to do it?
I don't. How do you do it all, people ask me. I don't have time to do it all.
Oh.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
You have been out of the loop for a long time. Everyone, it seems like, has been out of the Cultural Hall loop for a long time.
It seems like every time you ask, we have our little group and you see who can do it. And I don't know if it was school starting up and summer, but seems I've been busy with stuff, stuff.
But you're not going back to school.
No.
My
kid was.
15?
Yeah.
Nice.
So sophomore, started high school.
Learners?
Yep.
Did you teach him how to duck and roll when he starts to be kicked and or punched?
No, I didn't.
Okay. You need to.
I taught him, let him do it, and then remember who it is, and we'll sue him.
Yeah.
It's different when I was a kid.
Yeah, no.
You couldn't sue people. You took it.
Yeah.
You ran. That's why I'm so fast, as I learned to run.
You ran so far away.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's about when you were a kid, right?
Yeah, exactly, when I was getting beat up.
Who is that?
Flock of Seagulls. I ran so far away. Yeah, and we were just listening
too?
To Flock of Seagulls, you
Crazy.
And I.
Look at that,
yeah.
Full circle.
Uh-huh.
That's what the universe did for us. Oh, you look good, though. You look like you got color almost on your skin a little bit.
Thanks, really?
Yeah, which seems odd as we work into the fall time that now you finally look like you got color on your skin.
You know why it is? Yesterday, I went into a tanning booth for 55
really?
Seconds.
Why?
True story. Tanning booth, 55 seconds,
Wait,
and now
why?
I've gone.
Why?
I have psoriasis.
You do?
Yeah.
Isn't that for drinking?
You know, you always hear psoriasis of the liver because it was on MASH, and
okay.
So that's where everybody thinks it's a drinking issue, but it's a skin problem you can get.
Okay.
So I have these red dots. And so...
Are they flaky and dry like I hear about in the
yes,
commercial?
Yes, that's exactly like. And Cyndi Lauper has it.
Yes,
and
poor Cyndi Lauper.
Because there's a commercial out right
she
now.
She just wants to have fun.
Yeah, but she's covered in red splotchy patches.
Okay.
So she can't.
Yeah.
Because
when she
takes her shirt off, you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
So I have a creme that I put on them.
Okay.
And I was using that for a while, and then I forgot, and I got lazy, and so it started coming back. So that now they're like, all right, let's put it on again, and let's hit this. I'm supposed to go to this tanning booth thing. It takes, like I say, less than a minute, but I didn't think my insurance covered it, so I didn't go, and then come to find out they do. And so I'm going to do it like once a week.
Nice. So you put the cream on, you go in the booth, it like zaps it, like special zaps it or something?
Yeah. It's UV or UA or UB or whatever rays are supposed to not harm you, but they are good for your...
Hmm.
Actually supposed to help your mood as well.
Really?
Yeah.
How's your mood?
Pretty crappy. No, it's okay. It's not bad.
Pretty awful, as a matter of fact.
Life is terrible.
Kid's a sophomore. How's that?
It's good.
Yeah?
It's been all right.
Is he liking it?
As much as he likes school. He's okay with it.
Is he like his dad?
No. Luckily, it's not as bad as me. He doesn't. He's not picked on and tormented daily.
Were you really picked on and tormented daily?
Yeah, I was.
Well, you deserved it.
Thanks. I didn't deserve it.
No.
I was not as much of a jerk in high school as I am now. Maybe
not
a little bit.
Much of a jerk then as you are now.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to use another word.
Yeah.
Punk. Something whole.
Rebel.
I was a
punk hole.
Yeah, I can be mean.
Were you really that kid, all mad and everything?
Yeah. No, the black clothes and the depressed
really?
And the... Oh, yeah. I was like the
black
80s goth.
Nails?
Yeah.
Meh. It's cool. Really?
Yes.
Well, with your pale skin, I bet that was fun to watch.
It was perfect.
but you made your way out of it.
Well, now I'm just the same thing, but I don't wear the... I'm not in high school and I don't wear black clothes all
right.
the time. Well,
right. And, but you got some color on your skin because you went to 55 seconds of a tanning
booth. Yeah, because I went
sure.
to a tanning booth.
What was I going to ask you? But so good. He's good. He's having fun. He's liking it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It's
had to be called to the principal's office. Have you had that yet?
Nope. Not yet.
That's good.
Happened
That's
in
good.
Junior high.
Really?
Oh yeah.
What did he do?
A couple
what did
times.
He do in junior high?
I don't. We actually talked about it here, I believe.
Remind me.
He popped another student in the snot locker.
Oh really?
Yeah.
He's kind of a not stocky kid, but like, I mean, he's got a little more heft to him than you do for sure, right?
He does. He's taller than me now, mm-hmm. and he has I think more genes from his mother's side of the family, who are all quite tall. I don't think he'll be that big, and it's also he got a bit of a growth spurt, and so he kind of grew into his heft a little bit more, and also he's been working out well, riding a bike a fair bit, so he's trimmed down a little bit. I don't know if you call it baby fat, but sometimes kids, when they hit puberty, they put on a few pounds,
sure,
you know, and then they kind of grow into it. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of in that phase, but he's kind of growing out of that. And
is he riding bikes with you or with his mountain bike club?
With the mountain bike club, he and
killing
I
it?
Yeah, had their first race a week and a half ago,
and
I think he learned something from that.
The most
it's hard
diplomatic way of saying he didn't do very well. I think there were some lessons that
he learned some. No, I mean, there was in his group was there were 100 kids.
Oh my gosh.
And he was like right in the middle.
Okay. So it's not bad.
So no, not terrible.
Yeah.
But learn that it's hard. That mountain bike racing is hard, which is good. It's exactly what I wanted for him.
Nice.
But he still likes it.
Good.
He doesn't hate it. Go, oh, I lost, like his dad does.
Yeah. Second place, that award's going in the garbage. Thanks, Dan. Nope. I was going to ask you, too, how's your eyeball? How's your vision?
It's the same. I have terrible peripheral vision in my left eye, so people can sneak
up. On Kyle real good.
Yeah. I told the story of somebody in work coming up to offer me pancakes once, and I didn't see them. And they went to a meeting and said, why is that guy such a jerk? And everybody laughed. He's blind.
That's why he's a jerk, because he's blind.
So I even went to the eye doctor a couple weeks ago because I thought, is this getting worse? Mm-hmm. I was in a panic about it. No, it's just it's how it's going to be. Yeah.
And then what else is new with you? Work's going well?
Yeah, work.
I thought it was funny. I asked you if you were going to be able to do this today, and you're like, well, I haven't made it into the office. And I wanted to say, like, what, your parents' basement? You haven't made it over to your folks' house downstairs?
I don't work at home as much anymore now that I have a place of my
own. Full-blown office with a desk and a chair?
Yeah, I'm back at our office for about 6 months. I worked at home because our office flooded out, and they repaired that a while back. So I'm back in there. I still work at home a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I can do that.
I would if I could. Think.
Yeah. Here's the thing. They like me there. And I said, why?
Why? Why do you like this?
Yeah. Because I was working at home a couple days a week. I'd just email and say, I'm working at home today. And they're like, all right. And eventually it was like, we'd like you here.
Uh-huh.
I said, why? I'm number one. And I am. I am number one at the company.
Output or whatever? In some sort of thing they can monitor?
In gross, in net sales, I am number one.
So
it says, why do you care what I do?
Yeah. Or
what I'm doing
at
is working.
I'm winning.
And they said, well, it's for morale because we want people to see you here, the rest of our team, and see what you're doing, and kind of. That's exactly right.
But you're on board, right? You like the job?
I'm fine with it. I like the people I work with, a lot of them. So
do you get to wear cash
you
dress?
Can wear, at our office, I am probably one of the better dressers, and I'm in a t-shirt and jeans right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I was thinking about it as I put on my clothes today. I worked at my house yesterday all day. It's, you know, just the finishing touches on a lot of things. I was replacing a sprinkler part for hours on end. And as I woke up to get dressed today, I put on basketball shorts and a t-shirt that says try not to suck, and I was like,
which he's got right now.
Yep, this is about the effort I'm putting in today. That's about this is about all I have right now.
You'd fit right in with us.
Okay,
that's how they dress.
Well, good.
Do you have flip-flops in the middle of winter?
Yeah, but my heels get so cracky.
Yeah. I hate flip-flops or
thongs,
which is what I call them. I said that the other day to my kid. I said oh, grab your thongs. He's like, what? Your sandals.
They're over there by the VCR. Dad, you're going to need to speak to me in a language I can understand.
Underneath the Atari controller.
The Commodore. So, anything else? Anything else good? Anything else you want to
just
talk
about? Finished my first ever Xterra. I did the Pan Am.
I don't know what that is.
Championships Xterra.
What is it?
Xterra is an off-road triathlon.
Okay.
So mountain bike and road or a trail run.
Okay. And swim. Does it have to be like down a river or
in a lake?
Okay.
Just in the lake. It was held in Eden, Utah, at Pine View.
Oh,
and
cool.
Snow Basin.
Yes. Snow Basin is gorgeous, man. I love it up there.
That's great. I've been going up there a couple times a week training, and this event has been held in Ogden now for a few years, and it's grown to where now it's the Pan Am Championships, which is the Pan Am,
whatever Pan that American.
Is. Yeah.
Didn't Lance Armstrong compete in it a long time ago?
Like he did.
One of its first years that it was up there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did. And now the only thing they haven't got yet is the World Championships, which are in Maui. I doubt they'll move it.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be awesome.
Which I qualified, so
nice.
I won't be going.
Oh, I can get you a place to stay for free.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
You really should. If you can do it, I'm all for doing the things that you could do one time. I really could. I think I could get you a place to stay for free.
Man, now I just thought I can't afford it. It's expensive to you got to fly.
Yeah,
you got to stay.
Flying there is expensive.
I got to fly equipment, which is expensive.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you do it? It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's like my dad. Let me take a second. And this is why I think about it. Like, life is short, right? And there are a lot of times where you go, oh, man, I want to do it. And I understand being feasible. I also understand being reasonable. But I feel like for those things that are going to be once-in-a-lifetime opportunities, if you can, you really should try and make it. My dad ran marathons for 30 years. 30 years. This year, if he would have been running the St. George Marathon, it would have been his 30th time running it. He, you know, ran every weekend, ran every day, work, all the things, train. And for several years, he qualified for Boston, the Boston Marathon, which means you have to be pretty fast.
Yeah.
It got easier as you get older. But anyway, he always said, oh, I'll do it next year. I don't really have the money. I don't want to take time away from it. I don't want to do it. And now he can't. He can't barely even run. He's not doing the St. George Marathon this year. That's in a couple of weeks. And so now it'll be a thing that he could have done multiple times over, but that he's not going to be able to do because now he can't run at all. So he's not qualified. Now he can't go.
Yeah.
Kills me. It kills me that he never did it.
Yeah.
I don't know how he feels about it, but it kills me. So it's going to kill me if you don't go to Maui.
It's at this point, it's probably too short with what I've got going on. But, you know, I honestly am, after you saying that, I think I'm going to try and do it next year.
You should.
I mean, I've never been to Hawaii. I've never been that far away.
Honestly, so gorgeous. And if you end up doing it, if anyone actually, because I love Maui and Hawaii so much, you have questions about it, let me talk to you about it, or at least convince you into going. I think I'm going to the Big Island this next year.
Oh, yeah. Going back again.
Yeah, going back again. Different place. Going to watch the lava go into the ocean. I've never done that before.
Ooh.
So that should be kind of cool. It's apparently a forever drive to get there and then a forever hike beyond that. Looking forward to kind of going and doing and seeing that. Doing that with Jessica.
Yeah. So, who's that?
That's my girlfriend.
I know. I'm just for everybody
to
else.
To identify who she was.
Yeah. And you know, I had not seen on you forever. Maybe I just missed it. Updates on your home until I think yesterday.
I talked about
it
a little bit, and I'm going to do some more probably today. The thing is now is, like, it was really easy when it was stark differences, right? Like, here was a wall. Now there's not a wall anymore. And so those things were kind of really drastic and exciting, and I found that as it gets to be sort of finishing touches things, like, I can be like, hey, here's what this looked like before, and here's an after, and then everyone will be like, I don't see the difference
same.
Here. What are we doing? So, yeah, that's where the hesitation has been, but it's awesome. I'll tell you what. I wish that the basement was finished or even started. I started demolishing the basement a little while ago, but
you're going to do that completely too, like the walls down?
Yeah, I don't know. The original owners took the stairwell that was in the back corner of the house and put it in the exact middle of the house, destroying any sort of like living space in the basement. So I got to change some things around and see what we do. But it's cool. I really like it. Happy about it. And sort of a bizarre experience about, you know, just being like led by the spirit, if we can get religious for a second, because I didn't know why I wanted to do it. And even still, I don't know that I know the exact reason or whatever for it, but I really felt prompted to do that. And maybe it's kept me out of trouble being a single person, or, you know, kept me focused on something or been empowering or whatever. But I really have enjoyed the experience that I had no experience with previously. And then the other thing for me, as far as opening exercises in this part goes, since we recorded yesterday, I was talking to my girlfriend, who is not a member of the church, who is probably going to take on a calling.
Really?
In the ward, yeah.
With you as part of your new calling?
Maybe as part of my ward historian calling, but I think I would prefer that it not be. That it be something that she could be doing on her own. And there's a few with her not being a member of the church that she could do, but certainly something that...
So has she been going with you every...
Ever since I said, you know what, it's important that you come to church with me, she's been with me every week.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Without fail. Unless she was out of town. She was out of town. She's obviously not coming to church with me.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. And it's not because I said, I really think you should have a calling. Her exact words were, well, actually, I can maybe find, well, I probably won't be able to find it fast enough. Paraphrased, her exact words were, that's great. I can give back to this community that I love, but I'm not completely convinced of yet.
That's good. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, I thought that was fun. A way to give back. Do you have anything else we should talk about, or should we take a break?
No, I think we're probably good.
I feel good. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and do actual articles of news.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails with feedback from customers. Here's one. Dear Dan, I want to thank you for the help you gave my mom with her computer. She's gone from being frustrated to fascinated. I'm not overjoyed, though, that every picture of me that she has is now on Facebook. But she loves the computer and is happier than I've seen her in her whole life because of your team. You guys are the best. Signed, Happy. Dear Happy, in our company training meetings, we always teach everyone to treat every customer like they're your mom. At PC Laptops, we'll hold your hand every step of the way. Get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for just $799 with a lifetime warranty at any PC Laptops location. $799? You can't beat that. While supplies last, quantities are highly limited. Please visit us at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. I know you'll be happy too. Hey, Ma!
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. One in five children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
Time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
And I wanted to share this quick message with you. Received this morning, and it is this message. I just have to tell you how much I love the Cultural Hall. I've been a listener for a while. I just got back from a long walk and listened to the latest episode. You guys do such a good job blending honest conversation with laughs and just general good times. Thanks for putting out such a great show. I'm a big fan. And then Sean is who sent this in, goes on to say, I was thinking about you guys this week. Your show fits right into what I talk about on the closing section of his podcast, Latter Day Lives. And in fact, he actually mentions the Cultural Hall as he's discussing ways that we can make the church more inclusive and more comfortable for all. And it'll be out this coming Monday. So the podcast is called Latter Day Lives, and it'll come out on Monday the 25th, so people can check that out. You want to go ahead and take the first news story?
Yeah, since that he mentioned inclusivity, mm-hmm. I believe. So I'll start with this story. Mormon Church, Utah senators lend their support to bakers refusing to make cakes for gay weddings. The Utah-based Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and a majority of state senators have signed onto a friend of the court briefs in support of a Colorado bakery shop owner who refused on religious grounds to make a cake for same-sex wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So did you get that? The title, sometimes when I first read it, I thought, wait, which way are we going with this?
Yeah.
And this might lead into another bake sale that we had here recently. Denver baker Jack Phillips' case, Masterpiece Cake Limited versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission, is pending before U.S. Supreme Court. The Virginia-based Christian Legal Society filed its brief Monday on behalf of the LDS Church, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, the National Association of Evangelical, the National Association of Evangelical, the Orthodox Jewish Congregations, and
bunch
others.
Of religions.
Yeah, they all of them. It asked the nation's high court not to forget the First Amendment rights of those who are deeply religious. People of faith accept that the same-sex civil marriages are legal, the document states, but many can't in good conscience provide services for gay weddings. Now that the court has protected the liberty of the same-sex couples, it's equally important to protect the religious liberties of conscious objectors, the document states. 22 of Utah's 24 Republican state senators signed their names to a brief filed last week, which asserts that none is anti-gay but calls for a compromise position between the LGBT protections and religious liberty. The document goes on to tout that the Utah Compromise achieved in 2015 through the passage of a statewide non-discrimination bill that protects LGBTQ Utahns from housing and employment discrimination, balancing those interests with the right to free speech and religious association. Right. Those interests need not be fought as a zero-sum conflict with the political winners and losers, the filing states.
So let me ask you, let's stop for a second.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about it? The idea that, okay, gay couple comes to guy, owns a bake shop, and says, hey, we want you to make our gay wedding cake.
And he says no.
Does he have because the right to say no?
Sure.
Okay.
That's and I'm totally fine with that. I don't hate the guy. I think he's a fool for it.
Right. Because gay money spends as well as straight money.
You bet it does.
Right. So to me, like I never want anyone to be discriminated against. And I don't know if that's necessarily discrimination. Maybe it is. Right. I guess as a Mormon person, right, I could go to a dressmaker for my daughter. This is obscure or whatever, but I want you to make a baptism dress for my daughter. And the person can say, well, no. And I can say, well, I'm going to pay money for this dress. And they can say no. And then I go, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm going to find someone else to do it. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why I would then want to force someone to do it. Like in the rights of like housing and employment, right?
Right.
Those things that, I feel like people can be what? People need to have a place to live. They need to be able to have a place to work.
They need a cake too. If you look at it that way, there's a lot of gray area there. They need a place to house, but maybe they can go someplace else because somebody is a bigot.
Right. So I guess the thing for me is that it's hard to know where to draw the line. But to me, I feel like a guy who's not willing to make a cake for people. I mean, it's the same way like with doing DJ stuff and people go, hey, we have this gig. Okay, when is it? It's on a Sunday. I choose not to work Sundays. So sorry, I'm not going to do it. Well, no, we're going to make you work Sunday. I mean, maybe that's different. Maybe that's a different scenario, but I just wouldn't do it. Not because it was a Mormon or a non-Mormon event or, whatever. I just would just be like, yeah, I'm choosing not to. As a person who can say, I'm going to work and do this or not work and do this, I'm choosing not to.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, I don't know. That's probably more of a lightning bolt kind of, or lightning rod kind of subject, but to me, I mean, I guess you would hope that everyone would just be like, listen, I'll make you a cake. That's fine. Whatever. I'm making a cake. It's not going to make me gay by making a cake. It's going to make me money because you're paying for the cake. But you're a jerk maybe if you don't do it. But can't we just be like, well, that guy's a jerk and move along? I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something.
And a poor business person. And he's going to lose a lot of business because he's doing this.
Right.
Or maybe not, because then, other bigots would flock to that place for their bigot cake.
Yeah.
But it's as I think about it more, it's more of a rat hole, because where do you draw the line for what you should and should not provide based on religion, color?
As a business person, do you have the right to refuse anyone then, right? I am going to be a cake maker means I have to make any cake for any group because I'm being a cake maker. Is that what it means?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. You know what I do know the answer to? You should quit bugging people about going on a mission. Sorry, Kyle.
Yeah. Gosh.
There's a cultural thing. This is by Greg Trimble. You can find a link to this at theculturalhall.com. Wherein other members thinks that it's their business to tell a kid to go on a mission or not. When a kid turns 18 in the church, now that being a man, 19 for a woman, a swarm of people rush in and start peppering the kid and the parents going, when's Kyle going to serve a mission? Or why aren't you out on a mission already? Though it's probably not intended, he writes, the questions generally make the recipient feel uncomfortable and out of place. The article goes on talking about, shares this quote. quote from David O. McKay. It says, man is a spiritual being, a soul, and at some period of his life, everyone is possessed with an irresistible desire to know his relationship to the infinite. There is something with him in which urges him to rise above himself, to control his environment, to master the body and all things physical, and live in a higher and more beautiful world. And that is what drove Greg Trimble to go and serve a mission. If people don't know him, you can find him, gregtrimble.com. Some people really like Greg Trimble. Other people do not. We actually interviewed him here in the Cultural Hall. But he goes on to say that his mission meant everything in the world to him, and he went when he was ready. When he was 19, he was not ready. And I think there is nothing that makes someone who's on the fence about going or maybe not going, there's nothing that pushes someone towards not going than going, hey, when are you going? Shouldn't you be gone? Why don't you go? Why aren't you serving? Why did you blah, 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 blah? Just people have their path. People have their journey, and they figure it out there. And guess what? Kyle is a great person, and he didn't serve a mission.
Yeah.
So take that.
Everybody take that. And, you know, I never got pushed. I don't recall really into it. People bugging me a little bit, like, you know, hey, when are you going to go on your mission? You know, when you're that age.
Sure.
So everybody asks a little bit around the ward, but I don't think.
Mom and dad never said anything?
I mean, they did, you know, I think we even, like, got the papers for it, you know, and then at some point I just kind of, you know, in my not wanting to be confronted about it or confront anybody, it was a sensitive topic. I just kind of rolled away from it and was quiet. And eventually my parents are like, so we're thinking you're probably not going to go on a mission.
You're like, you're thinking right, pal.
I'm out of here.
Goodbye. I'll be in the basement for the next 25 years.
No, actually, that's the day that I moved out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When you said, I'm not doing the mission thing?
It was right about that time or that week or that day, maybe.
Not connected, though.
There were some other issues between us. And I was a jerky 18-year-old, and they were strict LDS people. And we parted ways. Didn't speak for a while.
Like a rift?
Yeah.
Really? How long?
Yeah. I can't remember now. I mean,
years? Are we still like a long time?
We still had some basic contact sometimes, but because I still live close by. But you know, we didn't like talk cordially or socially for probably a year, two.
That baffles me. I know that happens, and I place no sort of judgment on that. But like my mom, my dad, it's when I was serving my mission, it's amazing that I was able to do that because I talk to them all the time to the point that I think they're like, all right, listen, we know you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine. Can I go watch the news? That was my dad last night. Hey, Dad, I just want to talk to you. Yeah, the weather's almost done, so I'm going to go.
Did he?
Yeah, he totally dismissed me. I was like, family, isn't it about time? Cool. Thanks, Dad. What other stories you got?
Well, did you hear about the big tour coming up?
No.
Yes. Mormon Tabernacle Choir
they're
announces
singing the hits of Flock of Seagulls.
Announces the West Coast Tour. I love Space Age Love Song. I really do. So sentimental
so
to
dirty.
Me.
Why? What's sentimental about it?
I think it's some, you know, it came out when I was about 15 or 16 and falling in love and having my heart broken. Mm. And so you cannot be more new wave than Flock of Seagulls. You can't.
They're not. Mormon Tabernacle Choir not singing Flock of Seagulls, unfortunately.
No. The choir, which toured Europe last summer, announced Friday that it will perform in 5 West Coast cities. So it's a West Coast tour, yo.
Yeah.
Next summer, it's called the Classic Coast Tour. We'll take a 360 voice volunteer choir and the orchestra at Temple Square from Orange County, California, to Vancouver, British Columbia, with stops in Mountain View, Roanoke Park, and Seattle between. When we experience great music and great spaces, it makes for great experience, both of the audience and the performer, music director Mark Wahlberg said in a news release. Tour repertoire will range from choral masterworks to inspirational music from around the world to American folk hymns and spirituals. Here are the tour stops, the news release said.
You can find them at theculturalhall.com.
Yeah, we'll have them all on there. They will give a preview performance in the Salt Lake Tabernacle at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, June 14th. No tickets required. That's quite a ways away.
Yeah, June 2018. So put that on your calendar.
It's too far. See, here's the thing with concerts being anymore. When I was a kid, In Excess was announced. It was 2 months later. No, I can't wait 60 days.
Yeah.
Now I just got word of, I love OMD. I know you talked about this morning.
Yeah.
Coming, but next March.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I can't wait for that.
I travel to, I love music, so I travel to a lot of shows. Mm-hmm. When I go on holiday a lot, it's usually to go, I went to California to see shows. I'm going to another one in 2 weeks. Going Santa Barbara to see Depeche Mode again.
Oh, gosh.
Stop.
You know what I love about the Mormon Tabernacle Choir? They bring all their equipment on the bus. They bring all of their equipment. You don't get the reference?
No, I don't.
Dang it. It's your era, pal. And when I tell you off the air, you're going to go,
okay.
No.
Dang it.
It's what I love about the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. They bring all their equipment on the bus. Violin femmes? Really? Okay. Forget it. The joke was there. People got it, but not you.
Somebody's laughing.
100 Stakes of Zion in the country of the Philippines. 5.5 decades after the Church of Jesus Christ was first legally registered in the Philippines, it's now celebrating its 100th stake. The new stake, the Mandaluyong Philippine stake, is located in the area where the LDS Church first built a chapel in 1966. The milestone is significant. The LDS Church has only reached this milestone in 4 other countries in the world, so only 4 other countries have 100 stakes. Care to guess? I'll give you one.
America?
The United States.
Oh, dang it. That's my only one I know.
So there's 3 other that have 100 stakes.
Canada?
Country. Nope.
No?
Nope.
Oh. Mexico?
Yep, Mexico. So that's 2.
I don't know. The
Brazil?
Other 2. Okay, yeah. Yep.
And think down that way a little bit.
Cuba?
Peru. Nice. I don't even think there's a stake in Cuba, is there? Because it's communist.
Exactly.
Right.
No,
it's good
and,
guess.
And not in the same general area.
Yeah, at all. Like there's the Caribbean and then, good guess. It's an occasion you won't forget, said Elder Hinckley. This is the former president, Hinckley. He was just an elder on April 28th, 1961. He was the one who legally registered the Philippines and then received the permission to send missionaries to the nation. The first stake in the Philippines was created in 1973. That same milestone, so it only took 44 years in the Philippines. It took 94 years in Mexico and 43 years in Peru. Brazil was the fastest. How long do you think it took Brazil to get from 0 to 100 stakes?
Brazil,
27
50 years.
27 years for 100 stakes of Zion. What else you got?
Face-to-face event coming up with 2 apostles scheduled for November 19th. So that's not that far away. I'm all right with that. In an effort to help strengthen the young single adults in the church today, 2 apostles will participate in a live face-to-face event on November 19th. The young adult single for the young adult singles adults of the church.
Okay.
Elder Dallin H. Oaks and Elder M. Russell Ballard.
Okay.
Both of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles will answer questions from young single adults throughout a worldwide broadcast.
That'll be cool.
The event is meant to help this demographic build their faith in Christ, overcome challenges, and develop confidence to make the right decisions in life. Elder Oaks and Ballard are encouraging the young single adults in wards and stakes and institute classes around the world to gather and participate in this event live where available or any time after the event. In addition to participating in the event, the leaders have asked that each young single adult bring one friend, another member or less active member, so you could bring a girlfriend.
There you go. But I'm not a young single adult. I'm a mid-single adult.
Yeah, so we're not included, are we?
Nope. In fact, you're a... How old are you?
47.
No, you're an old adult.
I know. I'm in the... forget.
Singles.
We're not even going to worry about it anymore.
You're in the... Meh.
He's lost.
He's in the... Meh,
we don't even care. And also, full-time missionaries are invited to attend. So you can go on and put your questions in ysafacetoface.lds.org or by using the hashtag LDSFaceToFace, the number 2 face, on social media.
Speaking of speakers and the church, etc., last week or in the last articles of news, we talked about brother or elder and sister were president and sister Worthen, the president of BYU, being the first devotional speaker down at BYU. They do them every Tuesday, and some people that are going to be participating in this year are pretty interesting. David Axelrod, who used to be the White House senior campaign advisor for Barack Obama, will be speaking at BYU. He was also Obama's chief campaign strategist in 2012 when they went against BYU graduate Mitt Romney. Elder M. Russell Ballard will be speaking on the 14th of November. D. Todd Christofferson will give the devotional address on the 12th of December. Carolyn Billings, a 4-time cancer survivor and the director of sports medicine, will do one. Michael Ward, a C.S. Lewis expert at the University of Oxford. Laurie Garrett, a bioterrorism expert and the only writer ever to win the Peabody Award. Trying to see if there's some other ones. Elder Carl B. Cook of the 70. Sister Sharon Eubank, the first counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. Dhanurjay Patil, the former Deputy Chief Technology Officer for Data Policy and the first Chief Data Scientist in the U.S. Office of Science and Technology Policy will be there. It's a lot of...
They kind of run... I didn't know there was a C.S. Lewis expert or that you could do that.
And Amy Cuddy, who, if you've seen her 2012 TED Talk, it's awesome. Hers was Your Body Language May Shape Who You Are. She'll be speaking as well. And the best part is you can get these if you don't go to BYU. You can get them on BYU TV or BYUTV.org or KBYU TV 11. Check those out. This story. This you can find at theculturalhall.com in association with this episode. These might be the two cutest old men you've ever seen. They're twins, Ralph and Boyd Henderson.
Oh, I saw them.
99 years old. They celebrated their 99th birthdays recently. They both served together, not with each other, but served in World War II. Had a huge birthday party for them, and these guys are just about the cutest things you've ever seen. Born September 6th in 1918 in Idaho. The twins graduated from Pocatello High School. They were considering serving missions for the church, but then Ralph got drafted, so then Boyd decided to join. So my brother, you know, and here's the thing. He talks about that they were listening to the radio and his draft number came up.
Oh, my gosh.
So like that, I mean, we think about that and we go, you might get drafted. chortle, North Korea, Rocket Man. Yeah. But like back in the day, you'd be listening to the radio because you didn't have TV, the internet, and all that stuff. And they'd come on and they'd be like, just so you know, the following, you know, if your draft number is between blank and blank, report to your military office because you're going to war. Wait, what? Well, I guess I'm going to war. I guess I'm out of here.
And you're 18 years old?
Yeah. Ralph Henderson joined a convoy headed to defend the West Coast after the bombing at Pearl Harbor. So anyway... Cute old men celebrating 99 years of being alive.
I was going to look when I saw that to see if they're the oldest living twins. Because there was this thing the other day, the oldest woman just died, so now somebody else took over the oldest person. I think they're 118.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see if they were oldest twins.
This from the website Mormon Leaks. They released a video recently that claimed a conversation between BYU linebacker Francis Bernard and Provo police at Bernard's residence this last December. BYU announced earlier this month that Bernard, a junior, would redshirt this season for personal reasons, and his brother has said publicly that the reason was related to the university's honor code. The Mormon Leaks release did not tie what is portrayed in the video to any alleged action taken by the honor code office at BYU. Deseret News has learned that Bernard was convicted on two charges of noise disturbance and disorderly conduct in two separate incidents that took place in 2016. The first incident, Bernard was found guilty in January of noise disturbance. I didn't know that people actually got like actual like citations on it, right? Like I always thought it was like, well, turn it down, little boys. All right, we will. We'll turn it down. But he got fined. It's a misdemeanor, Class B misdemeanor. Fined $150.
That's worth it. $150 to party hard.
The second incident was December 4th. He was charged with disorderly conduct, a Class C misdemeanor, pled guilty. He was fined an additional $150. Anyway, so he will not be and is not playing for BYU this year, which is why they suck. If they had him.
Oh, sure.
Boy,
they'd be right on top of that.
Would, yep.
Even I know, and I don't follow football, but I know that they're terrible. That's Mormon news. It's a Mormon school.
Landlord hopes her efforts to clear land, which she says has been attracting homeless people and rats, will soon lead to action. I think that this is in the UK. Yeah, it is. Doreen Williams owns a flat in East Street, Sittingbourne. A large mound of rubbish has been dumped behind her property, and she says her tenant has gone to Swale or Swally Council three times to ask if it could be cleared. She said the homeless are sleeping there and dropping remains of takeaway meals, cans and bottles of drink and smoking drugs. This is now attracting rats. Branches and woods would have been stacked up as well. So what does this have to do with us? The land is owned by the LDS Church. Roger Truelove, the labor group leader on the council, says he's been continually pressing the authority to do something about it. Part of any development there should be some extra parking to relieve the stress that is caused in that part of town. Commenting on the rubbish, I'm going to sneeze, excuse me.
Gesundheit.
A Swale Council spokesman said, we can find no records of any complaints being made to the council regarding this land. We take all reports seriously and are logged in our system to ensure they receive the appropriate follow-up. So there's rubbish on Mormon land in the United Kingdom near Sittingbourne.
Yeah, but it sounds so nice.
Right?
Rubbish in Sittingbourne. Doesn't sound that bad.
And they've got their smoking drugs.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about that story. Two more, and then I think maybe we wrap this thing out. Utah filmmaker Richard Dutcher, former guest of the Cultural Hall and grandfather of Mormon cinema, told a federal court jury Monday that Rick Korber put about $5 million from his real estate investment operation into a sexy horror movie called Evil Angel, with the goal of earning enough money to make another film about LDS church founder Joseph Smith. Dutcher testified at the beginning of the fourth week of trial for Korber, who's facing 18 charges that allegedly he took in about $100 million in investments and returned nearly half that back as interest payments in an alleged Ponzi scheme. An indictment alleges that Korber told investors their money would go to purchase single-family homes, but that he also spent money for restaurants, personal expenses like luxury autos, and money on the Dutcher movie. Dutcher is a producer of Brigham City, God's Army, States of Grace. He testified that in the 2000s he wanted to make a movie about Joseph Smith, who founded the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in 1830, but he estimated that that project could take up to $17 million to do it properly. Dutcher said that he had talked to Korber about investing and they decided to make a movie in a popular genre that might earn enough money so they could make the Joseph Smith project. Korber eventually put up $5 million for the horror flick now titled Evil Angel, including extra funds to hire star Ving Rhames, a veteran of action movies. About halfway through the morning court session, prosecutors played the trailer for the movie. Korber's wife, Jewel, led two of their young children who have been attending the trial every day from the courtroom as it began. It featured movie gore and several sex scenes. Dutcher said by the time he presented the film to distributors in L.A. in 2008, Great Recession had struck and no deals were made. Instead, Dutcher said that he turned to an international distribution company in Toronto. He said that he was not paid what he estimates should have been about $2 million in box office earnings, and the Canadian company for distribution went out of business. Financially, it didn't turn out so well. Prosecutors been asking investors whether they had been told that Korber was putting some of their money into movies in addition to real estate, and they have said no to both questions. So it's just fascinating. This guy who bilked a bunch of money down in Vegas put some money towards Richard Dutcher's film, trying to make a movie about the prophet Joseph Smith.
A naughty film to make money to make one a film about Joseph Smith.
I mean that's a
means to an end.
Listen, it's going to be a lot easier if we make a popular genre film before we do this.
You need $17 million. Here's what we'll do. I'll bilk $100 million out of people. We'll make a softcore porn.
I'm in with this plan so far.
And then...
And then what? And then we make a film about the prophet? Done. This from Haleiwa, Hawaii? Haliwa, I don't know.
Hawaii.
Trial and sorrow are nothing new to the Norton family. Within the past 10 years, this will be the last story we'll do, by the way. Within the past 10 years, I want to reemphasize that. So in the last 10 years, Natalie Norton lost her 21-year-old brother. Natalie and Richie Norton lost their fourth son at 4 months old to whooping cough. And recently, the couple lost three foster children that they had cared for 2 years. That's why when Richie Norton received a phone call from a family friend telling him that his 10-year-old son Lincoln had been hit by an SUV while crossing the road, he immediately knew he would once again be entirely dependent on God. So follow this again. In the last 10 years, Natalie lost her brother. They lost a son at 4 months and three foster children.
It's five.
In addition to this 10-year-old son who'd been hit by an SUV.
Ugh.
We're not so strong. God is strong, Richie Norton said. We're weak. It's not necessarily that God won't give you more than you can handle. You can handle the things that happen to you if you rely on God and the Savior. year. Richie and Natalie Norton, members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, have frequently shared their faith on social media in the past, yet since their son's accident, they have touched thousands worldwide by overcoming a horrific experience through their examples and messages of hope and love for God. Lincoln was struck by an SUV and placed in a medically induced coma. He had a collapsed lung. Part of his liver was killed on impact. He suffered road rash, sores on his face, chest, hand, and knee, requiring reconstructive surgery to his face, including a skin graft. 2 days after the accident, Natalie Norton shared the news on Instagram. After describing the details of Lincoln's situation, Norton expressed her gratitude for the blessings that God had given her. Quote, "This has been every parent's worst nightmare from start to finish. My sweet, courageous, brilliant baby's brain seems to have miraculously suffered little more than a moderate concussion. God is so good. We testify that God is real, and his angels surround us in abundance in our times of greatest need." With more than 4,400 likes and 1,600 comments, many were touched by the mother's ability to recognize blessings from God so soon after the accident. But the ability to stay positive didn't end with Richie and Natalie. Throughout this journey, Lincoln has continued to show love to others, especially his mother. So, if you were thinking, did he die? No, he did not. In the midst of the worst, when we first got to the hospital, he first woke up from the coma, he looks to his mom and asks her, "How are you doing, Mom? Are you comfortable?" Richie Norton said, "It's an incredibly touching and such a sweet, sweet boy." So a little perspective for us.
Wow.
Right?
Kind of the opposite of me, how we started the show.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to drive the point home, but it's exactly opposite of you and how we started the show today. I wish you wouldn't have drawn that obvious conclusion I was trying to draw. Shoot. Brother Kyle, thank you for being back here.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Will you get in the habit of it and be by more often?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope if you're sick or afflicted, you're well and you can listen next time.
And that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row.
Of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the